Last week, I heard you all had a good time and had a lot of fun at the ministry booths. I trust you have managed to have time to visit the booths, and you know, some of the people in the booths were really excited that there's been a number of sign-ups. And so that's, I think, really great. I trust you all got your ice cream. How many of you managed to get your ice cream? Okay, not so many. No wonder got so many in our staff fridge. Okay, anyway, if last week you were still unsure, still hesitant whether to try something new this year, or you're at the juncture in your life where, you know, some things may be uncertain, you're not too sure how this year will pan out, and you're not sure whether it's the right time for you to step into a new ministry, well, don't wait. Don't wait, because there will never be a better time. Okay, there will never be a better time. You know, if you're thinking that, you know, once this stage is over, when I've completed this and that, then I have more time and then I'll be able to do this. Well, my friends, that day may never come. You know, once this stage is over, this thing is done, something else will come up. Something else will come in and, you know, take over. So there's never a better time. The time is now, yeah? The time is now. So it's still not too late. You can still approach the people. You saw those different ones in the booths. They are the ones in the core team running the ministries. Speak to them, okay? Come, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be able to serve you and to be able to serve together as the body of Christ. We know that, Lord, everything that we do, you see and is appreciated by people around us as well. Because as we serve you, and we serve each other in this community of faith that you have placed us. So this morning, Lord, will you continue to speak to us as we begin this year. Help us to start it aright. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, we have turned the year already. You know, last year was a tumultuous year, you know, and I think it was shared over the pulpit in one of the sermons. Last year, an unprecedented year. More than 80 countries representing 4 billion people went through national elections. That's more than half the world, I think, right? Not only was there the continuation of the major armed conflicts all around the world, but also the broadening of the war on some of the major fronts in Russia and Ukraine, Israel and Hamas. Other parties were involved and, you know, the war seemed to have expanded. We also face extreme weather conditions, flight safety concerns. You know, suddenly everybody was like, ooh, quite scary, okay? Political upheavals, and most of all, fake news took on a new level, right? Now it's like, you look at the videos and the things on the internet, it's like, don't know whether real or fake one. It's really so well done now, in a bad sense, okay? And even though we have crossed now into 2025, I don't think we have turned the page on these issues. Right? It's good news that there's now a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. But if anything, a lot of these things that's happening in the world might get worse and might get even more uncertain as we head into 2025. Definitely more challenging. But you know, we cannot hold back just because of all these things that's happening in the background. Life usually and always gets more and more challenging, especially in these days. Weather and natural calamities will continue to worsen. And we should never take the posture of trying to survive through all this. Because my friends, God wants us to more than survive. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to thrive in His kingdom. His plans for us is to thrive, to have an abundant life, a full and meaningful life for each one of us. You know, when Pastor Jonathan and I last year went away for a retreat to seek the Lord for this year's theme and focus for us, one of the things that I sensed during that time was that this year, 2025, is going to be more difficult. It's going to be a more difficult year, a more challenging year than in 2024. I'm not too sure in what way or to what extent on how it will actually pan out, but I have a sense it's going to be more challenging, much more challenging than 2024. And that's why in our theme for this year, we worked in the phrase, stand firm. Stand firm, press on. We want to stand firm even when faced with difficulties and challenges. And we want to press on because we know that God wants us to thrive, not just to survive, to thrive. He has plans for us to thrive and despite all the things that happen, in spite of whatever may happen. We don't live life on the back foot, I always say, but we press on because we know that God has something better for us. Amen. So how do we respond when we come across difficulties, setbacks in life? How do we respond when we go through troubles and suffering? Well, Paul was in that position at the point when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. Here he talks about a few things that reveals his mindset about how he went through those difficult times. He was in prison at that point, but he was still able to rejoice. In fact, he mentions that in this letter quite a few times. He was still able to be fruitful in his ministry and in his life. How did he do it? Well, firstly, even while he was in prison, he saw that it was an encouragement and an example, a model for others. He writes in verses 12 to 14, he says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know, here was Paul in prison. And instead of feeling down and dejected and depressed, instead of complaining to God why all these things have happened to him, you know, despite giving his all to serve God and to follow Christ, instead of doing all that, he was rejoicing. He was rejoicing. He saw the positive side of things, the good that God was doing despite all the bad that has happened to him. And you know, that's God's promise to us. That when we follow him, when we do his will and do his work, he will make all things good. Even when bad things happen to us, he will make it good. He'll make something good out of it. And that's what really matters, isn't it? God's kingdom work continues to advance. God's work in us continues to be done. Paul saw that even though he was stuck in prison, as it were, his testimony for Christ, actually in today's lingo, has gone viral. Okay, it's gone viral. He says what? It has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to the rest. You know, him being in prison because of Christ became the talk of the town. Right? All the Roman guards there, all the rest of the whole building, you know, if you read the Bible in the footnotes, nowadays, I don't know any of you read physical Bibles anymore, but, you know, even your digital ones, you got a footnote, right? A little number there, a different color, right? You click on it, you go to the footnotes. It tells you that word there actually is the word praetorium, right? That's like a palace or building or the building where all the Roman guards are. Everyone in that building heard about him because he was in prison. All the guards, all the slaves, the workers in the kitchen, the slaves that were serving drinks to the governor and to the guards, all of them heard about Paul. Because of his imprisonment, he was actually able to reach a group of people that he otherwise wouldn't have been able to. And not only that, he says also that the other brothers and sisters who have heard about how he is now in prison are now much more bold to speak the word without fear. He became a source of inspiration for others. Not that others wanted to follow him to be in prison also, but that they heard about how he was suffering, how bold he was, about how he continued to feel with joy and hope while in prison, how he continued to hold on to his testimony and continue to share Christ with the prison guards. My friends, you see, our testimony for Christ is not only done by sharing verbally with our friends the gospel, right? That's important, to be able to explain and tell the gospel and share our story. But that's one aspect. The way that we respond to trials and troubles in our life is also a strong testimony. The way that we live, the way that we hold on to our faith and our trust in God. Even when things go wrong, in fact, especially when things go wrong, that is when our testimony shines through. You know, a lot of us here in Singapore love to visit Japan, right? It's probably one of our favorite holiday destinations. How many of us have been to Japan at least once for holiday? A lot. Oh, okay, a lot of you here. Again, yesterday I asked that question, not that many. Okay, you all go and never bring your children. Okay, anyway. I was at Nagasaki, and you know, most of us immediately when you think of Nagasaki, you will think of the place where the atomic bombs were released. One of the places that was the atomic bomb was released during World War II, and you know, it was a very sobering visit to go there to that city and be there at the epicenter where the bomb was dropped, right? And they actually now build a memorial and a garden at that spot. 60,000 to 80,000 people perished due to the atomic bomb just at Nagasaki alone when it was dropped there on the 9th of August, 1945. But you know, Nagasaki is also known for something else other than the atomic bomb. It's also known for the 26 Martyrs Museum. It was actually a museum set up to remember how on 5th of February 1597, 26 missionaries were crucified on crosses there in Nagasaki. You know, there was a season in the early days in Japan where there was a very harsh persecution that broke out against Christians. And they literally crucified the missionaries that were there in their land. That was how Christ died, and they did the same thing because they follow Christ, right? So they also crucified them on the crosses. Among the 26 that were martyred, only 6 were actually foreign missionaries. 20 of them that were martyred were actually local Japanese missionaries, out of which 3 were actually young boys who served as altar boys. Instead of recanting their faith, they held on to their faith. It was recorded they were tortured, mutilated, forced to walk 800 kilometers from Kyoto to Nagasaki. That's a long, long way. Most of us will just fly, right? They walked. They were forced to walk all the way to Nagasaki before they were crucified on crosses and impaled with lances, spears, and died. You know, one of the more well-known Japanese missionary who was a strong preacher then was this guy called Paul Miki. And apparently he was still preaching when he was hanging there on the cross, urging those who were present to believe in Jesus Christ. And there in his last words, he said he forgave his persecutors and that he would rather that all of them became Christians. His last words were actually recorded there and placed there in the museum. You know, the crucifixion of these 26 martyrs marked the beginning of a long period of 200 over years of persecution against Christians in Japan. They were not the only ones who were martyred for their faith. Many others followed suit. You know, there was a big wall that was set up with a long list of names of all that were martyred. More than 400 missionaries and Christians were martyred for their faith. And they're remembered there in the museum. In fact, during the whole Edo period, over the 250 years in Japan, it was estimated that between 300,000 to 500,000 Christians were killed, hunted down and killed. Christianity was almost as good as eradicated during that period. Now, that's a lot more people, a lot more times of the number of people that actually died from the atomic bomb. How tragic it was. But thanks to their faith, you know, today there is this museum, Christian Museum, established there in Nagasaki to remember their faith and remember their martyrdom, how they held on to their faith, how they died for their faith. Today, the missions and church planting work continues in Japan. Remains one of the least rich nations in the world, with just 1.1% who profess that they are Christians. It's just 1.1%. But you know what? In Nagasaki itself, the percentage of Christians there is 4.8%. It's still a small number, But it's more than four times the number of Christians in all the other prefectures in Japan, other than Tokyo. You know, everywhere else in Japan is 1% or less. But here in Nagasaki, 4.8% were Christians. Perhaps it's because of the legacy of the early Christians in Nagasaki during those persecution years that has changed the spiritual climate there in Nagasaki. You know, my brothers and sisters, when we encounter trouble and difficulties in life, whether it is because of your faith or not, how we respond as Christians can be a strong testimony and encouragement to others, not just only for those who are around you, but for future generations as well. This is part of the reason why, you know, Salt and Light, I mentioned a few times in the website, it features so many stories of people and how they live out their faith in their lives, at their workplaces, not just how they serve in church, but in their lives, their normal life, in their workplaces, how they go through challenges and difficulties in life and how they activate their faith, engage with their faith and respond as God would call them to and lead them to. And this is so that we too can find courage in the midst of our difficulties, so that we too can be overcomers in the face of persecution, so that we too can live out our faith, recognizing that it does make a difference to others when we activate our faith in the face of trials and difficulties in life. And even as we find courage through the life of others, we too give courage to others. So that's one strong reason why we're in the face of troubles and difficulties. We want to engage our faith. We want to persevere. We want to stand firm. Because that's how others will see Christ in us. There's a second reason why God allows all these troubles and suffering into our lives. And that is so that we will be able to experience God personally. That we will be able to experience God personally. You know, in verse 19, Paul continues to say, not only does he rejoice in the fact that Christ is proclaimed more and more as a result of his imprisonment, but also that through it, even as they pray for him, he will experience the joy of deliverance, of being vindicated and released from prison. You know, he had a certain confidence that his time is not yet, that for the sake of the brothers and sisters, God will preserve his life and will deliver him, both by the prayers of the saints and also by the work of the Spirit of Christ. And he probably had that revelation and the assurance from God that he will be released. Historically, he was released. He was able to continue his missionary journeys, going around visiting, encouraging the churches in the region. And he went on Ephesus, Corinth, Troas, different ones, and probably Philippi as well. As he said there, he will plan to visit them if he was released, when he is released. And also the other churches in the region of Macedonia. You know, with each setback and persecution phase, he had more stories, even more stories to tell of God's grace and deliverance. And he continued his ministry more and more. The book of Philippians is part of this group of epistles called the prison epistles, right? The epistles which Paul wrote while he was in prison. The book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And one of the key themes and things that he writes about in these letters that surface was actually on Christology, on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And somehow it came out quite strongly in these four letters. His faith and his understanding of who Jesus is seemed to heighten while he was actually in prison. He had the revelation of who God is, who Jesus is, more and more. You know, oftentimes, it is through troubles and difficulties in life that we encounter God. When we are at the end of ourselves, when we are forced to abandon our own resources, our own intellect, that we are forced to turn to God in surrender. And that is when we actually meet and experience God. Many of us will be familiar with this actor, Li Nanxing, right? I think you all will recognize yesterday, all of them look and say, oh, who is this guy? You know, a lot of the young people don't recognize him. You know, he's a mediocre actor who rose to stardom in the 1990s, winning Best Actor for 3 years and was among one of the most popular actors throughout the 90s and even to the early 2000s. However, he fell into debt due to his poor business investments. He continued to lose and lost everything when he got entangled into gambling, trying to recoup his losses. And he ended up, he admitted, with a huge $2 million debt. And he shared that during those years, there was nothing else he could do to climb out of the situation that he was in. He was so depressed that he even contemplated suicide. But it was during this time that he had a miraculous encounter with God, when he was at the end of himself. And he felt that God had saved his life, literally saved his life through a turn of events when, you know, he was in a karaoke in Thailand and he stepped into the stair where the stairs was missing and he fell. And he felt that God had intervened in a miraculous way and saved him from certain death. The long and short of it was that he eventually surrendered his life to Jesus. And a word was given to him to go back to doing what he was doing. And so he went back into acting, right? So you realize in his acting career, there was a blip of 2 over years that he just disappeared, right? Then he came back. He slowly came back and through it, he managed to fully repay his $2 million debt, something that was an impossibility. He was convinced that this was a work of God, right? Because there was no way he could have been able to repay that. Not possible to have been able to do that on his own. And as a result, to honor God, he directed his first film, a Christian film. I don't know whether any of you have watched this. I haven't. At that time, I didn't hear about it. It's called Ying Jia, The Ultimate Winner, in 2011. He directed a film, a Christian film. Actually, it turned out to be an evangelistic movie. You know, you go to the movie reviews, you have people complaining against it because it's too evangelistic, okay? He basically wrote his life in there. He starred himself as a habitual gambler, drawn into a life of pain by his gambling addiction. How he eventually became a Christian through his very religious wife, and through it, overcame his gambling addiction and was delivered from it. How his life was transformed. You know, he did that in order to glorify God and what God has done for him. He has also since shared his testimony quite widely at various evangelistic outreaches and also through Celebration of Hope. He also shared his testimony on video, different platforms. You know, my friends, if you want to encounter God, don't run away from difficulties and from troubles. Oftentimes, God works through them so that we can see God and experience Him. We can thrive through difficulties and suffering. Firstly, by seeing that this as an opportunity for us to be an example to others. And secondly, when we see this as opportunities to be able to experience God. And lastly, when we learn to see them as an enrichment of our faith. Enrichment of our faith. You see, Paul left his very sterling career as a respected Pharisee in order to follow Christ. And he took on a very tough life, effectively as a bivocational pastor, right? He was a tent maker and at the same time he was a church planter. He underwent much persecution, much difficulties, and he tells a little bit of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, when he recounted how he was whipped at five different occasions, whipped with the 39 lashes, beaten by rods 3 times, stoned, people threw stones at him, shipwrecked 3 times in his travels, gone hungry and thirsty, so poor that at times he couldn't have even afforded enough clothing to keep him warm out in the cold. All these experiences not only brought him deeper into the faith, but also enabled him to see life and death in his proper perspective. And so he says in verses 20 and 21 that he hopes to see that Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, the ministry that he was called to do by God was so hard, so difficult, so challenging, that Paul was, to some extent, saying that it would have been better if he were to die, okay, and to depart to be with Christ, right? So you can see that he wasn't enjoying, it wasn't a walk in the park, right? It wasn't an easy life and an easy calling. It was a difficult life. But yet it is this what he said was not a cop out, okay? Not, wow, okay, escape from all this, run away from all this. But yes, behind it, it was how real heaven was to him. So real and so desirable to him. So much so that in comparison, it would be better for him to be in heaven with Christ than to continue living here on earth. I don't know, many of us maybe would prefer to stay on this side of earth, okay? But you know, Paul didn't say that because he disdained life, right? We get a little bit of that in verse 20. He says what? To live is Christ. He says that while he lives in the flesh, it means fruitful labor for him. So he sees all the value of life. It's not that he didn't, you know, enjoy life. He saw the value of what he was doing. His faith has been so enriched by these tough experiences that he sees and understands life beyond the superficial. He has learned to be content, whether in plenty or in want, whether well-fed or hungry. And you know, this kind of tenacity and perspective in life is something that is produced only through deep and difficult life experiences, especially experiences of the difficult and suffering kind. A few of us from COGS here were in KL this past week, the annual summit 2025. It's an annual event where pastors, Christian leaders from across Singapore gather to seek the Lord, to hear from one another about what's happening in Singapore and what God is doing in Singapore, and also to pray over Singapore. You know, in one of the sessions, we spent a moment praying for the youths and the young people in our midst, because it's one of the areas we want to focus on. And so all those who were 35 and below were called to go forward. You know, there was a lot of them who were present. Right? And so they went forward and so that we can pray for them. But just before that, Pastor Derek Hong said something that stuck with me. He told the young people who came forward, and he said this, "Comfort will not make you strong. Adversity will make you strong. Comfort will not make you strong. Adversity will make you strong." It is so true, isn't it? You know, oftentimes we find ourselves praying for a smooth life, praying that our lives will be smooth, that God will protect, will pave the way, will remove all the obstacles, remove all the difficulties, bless and give us good success so that we can have a good life, a blessed life. But my friends, comfort will not make you strong. It is adversity that will make you strong. God strengthens us and strengthens our faith through adversity, through difficulties, through suffering, in a way that nothing else can. I always remember this because of an incident that I had during my NS days. When I fell, I dislocated my arm. You know, at the time I was looking to go into army, go into officer cadet school, and to excel, you know, in my NS time together. You know, going in with all my sports friends from school, right? We all go to sign up together in the same company and, you know, all, you know, spurring each other on. But a little trip during my BMT days, I was just tripped and fell. 8 weeks into my BMT, it resulted in a dislocated elbow and a fracture in my arm. Right? My arm was put in a cast and I was out of cost. And so, you know, no more OCS. You know, I was totally put on a different track thereafter, vocationalized as a clerk. And it was on this other track as a clerk that enabled me actually to encounter God deeply. Because as a clerk, I had so much time on my hands, okay? Oftentimes alone in a camp, and so much so that I managed to develop actually a very intimate walk with God. I didn't complete my BMT. Don't tell them after they call me. I didn't complete my basic military training, you know, and so they couldn't post me back to a combat unit. I was PES B after I recovered. But a PES B clerk, right? They couldn't post me back, and so I remained a clerk for the whole 2.5 years during my time in the army. And it was during those years that drew me closer to God and that set a foundation for me to be able to hear and discern God's calling for my life in subsequent years. Now, if you take a look at my arms, okay, this one a bit, you take a look at my arms, you can see very obviously which arm was broken. Right? Can see, right? Is it covered? Okay, right, because of order. Right, you can see which arm was broken. If you're thinking it's my right arm, you're wrong. Okay, it's actually my left arm, right, that was actually fell, dislocated, and fractured. You see what has happened? God actually straightened my left arm. Okay, isn't that great? You know, I always keep this in mind. It's a visual reminder for me that when God allows troubles, difficulties, even suffering into our lives, it's actually to straighten us. Okay? It's actually to straighten us. It's actually to make things better. It's to draw us deeper into Himself, to enable us to grow deeper in our understanding and our faith of who He is. Even though sometimes, you know, it may seem to turn our lives upside down and our plans upside down, God is actually using them to turn our lives right side up. You see, my friends, when we have a right perspective on suffering, of troubles and difficulties in our life, we will not fear or run away from them, from all these things that beset us, or complain and avoid difficulties and try to brush them aside. But we will learn to embrace it. Learn to embrace it because of all the good that God can bring out of it. Because God desires for us to grow. His plans are for us to thrive, especially in the midst of trouble, through difficulties and suffering. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the example that Paul has been to us. All the difficulties and suffering that he went through. A great apostle that he was, but yet such a life filled with troubles, persecution, suffering. But that made him who he was. That enabled him to become more and more like Christ. And that, Lord, is our ultimate desire. That we become more and more like you, Lord. Because that is how we grow. That is what you have called us to do and to be. And we recognize that oftentimes this cannot be done in comfort. But we are only shaped to be more like Christ through suffering, through troubles, through difficulties. And truly, as Paul says, that it has been granted to us that for the sake of Christ, that we should not only believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. That he will come. In fact, it is through suffering that we will truly understand him and become more like him. So we pray, Lord, that your grace will sustain us when we go through difficulties, troubles, suffering. That through it, Lord, our perspective will be to honor you, to be an example for the watching world, to activate our faith and to respond in a way that honors you. Not to run away from it, but to confront it and to go through it in the most Christian way that we can. And we ask that, Lord, you strengthen us in these times. We know that we are not alone. We have brothers and sisters that can journey with us. We have your Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters who pray with us. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ that is in us to work all things for good. And for that we give you thanks. Grant us your grace, your courage and boldness, Lord, that we may face all things that is before us in this coming year. All this we ask in Jesus' name.